Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 5th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the nation grapples with gun violence yet again over the holiday weekend.
There are reports of tariff talks between the U.S. and China.
Some big bank strategists warn of a continued growth slowdown.
And Citigroup says oil could be in for a major decline in event of a recession.
WNBA star Brittany Griner pleads with President Biden to get her out of Russia. Plus, fireworks lit up the sky in New York. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
And I'm Scott Seidenberg. The Mets win, the Yankees were off, plus an update on Wimbledon. I'll have that and more coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 19 points this morning. Dow futures down 141, and NASDAQ futures down 75. 10-year Treasury down 4/30 seconds, yield 2.89%. Yield on the two-year, 2.89%. The euro, 1.0297 against the dollar. The yen, 135.84. John.
And we'll get to more of the markets in a moment. But first, Karen, we begin in Highland Park, Illinois, where a gunman opened fire from a rooftop at an Independence Day parade yesterday, killing at least six people, wounding at least 30 others. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker addressed the violence in a news conference.
I'm furious. I'm furious that yet more innocent lives were taken by gun violence. I'm furious that their loved ones are forever broken by what took place today. I'm furious that children and their families have been traumatized.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker spoke to President Biden after the incident. The president also addressed the tragedy, saying more needs to be done to curb gun violence.
We got a lot more work to do. We got to get this under control.
A person of interest in the shooting was taken into custody late yesterday after a lengthy manhunt in the community of Highland Park. There was also gun violence in Pennsylvania last night. Two police officers shot in Philadelphia during festivities held near the city's Museum of Art. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw says the shooter's motives were unclear.
We don't know if this was a ricochet from celebratory gunfire. We don't know if this was intentional. We don't know if this was someone taking a shot intentionally at these officers.
Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw saying the officers have been treated and released.
Now turning to Washington, John, the Biden administration could roll back some tariffs imposed by former President Trump. Senior U.S. and Chinese officials discussed the matter last night in what the White House calls candid and substantive discussions. There are expectations that the administration could remove levies to help ease price increases on consumers. We get more on this story from Bloomberg's Bruce Einhorn.
People familiar say that the White House has actually asked companies to make a commitment that if the U.S. agrees to ease some of these tariffs, that companies will then pass those savings through to consumers. But people familiar say that executives of these companies said, well, no, we're not going to make that kind of commitment.
And Bloomberg's Bruce Einhorn reports there are currently U.S. tariffs on hundreds of billions of dollars in Chinese goods. However, senior members of the Biden administration appear divided about the need to lift levies.
Well, initially, futures reacted positively to news potentially lifting tariffs. They've since erased those gains. Still, the news good for sentiment, according to Deepak Mehra, who's head of investments at Commercial Bank of Dubai.
It's the recognition that the government is very conscious that they need to act on the supply side of the inflation issue, because the Fed has been slamming the brakes on the demand side, whereas the real issue is the supply. So I think trying to fix that issue is giving the markets a bit of a ease and comfort that, you know, we are finally addressing the problem where it is.
Commercial Bank of Dubai's Deepak Mehra says he expects the Fed to keep hiking rates and slam the brakes on demand.
Well, turning to the economic outlook, John, one Goldman Sachs strategist said the base case expectation is not for a U.S. recession. Gurpreet Gill is a macro strategist for global fixed income at Goldman Sachs Asset Management. She says we may get a recession, but opportunity for investment will depend on its magnitude.
We do expect continued monetary tightening. You may well see a technical recession, but what really matters when you're thinking about the investment landscape and opportunities in fixed income sectors is the magnitude and sort of the characteristics of that recession.
And Goldman Sachs macro strategist Gurpreet Gill expects growth to level off as rates head higher.
Another major bank painting a grim picture for the economy. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that story. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, John. With the recent drop in bond yields, investors are betting the Fed may turn less hawkish if inflation peaks in the second half of the year. But Morgan Stanley says any drop in interest rates should be interpreted as more of a growth concern rather than the Fed giving relief. Strategists there say if macroeconomic data do not confirm a recession, then equity markets could rally further. But if growth were to pull back, they say the S&P 500 may sink to 3,000 points. That's about 22% below its latest close. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Anita, thank you. Looking at oil now, Citigroup is warning that crude could collapse to $65 a barrel by the end of this year and slump to $45 by the end of next year. That's if we get hit by a demand-crippling recession. The outlook is based on the absence of any intervention by OPEC and checking prices now. 9X crude oil up 0.25% at $108.70 a barrel. Brent is down 1% at $112.35.
Overseas, European equities have turned lower after some initial optimism. The euro this morning weakening to the lowest level against the dollar since 2003. Meantime, in Asia, stocks climbed overnight.
And, John, futures are lower. S&P futures down about 17 points. Dow futures down 127. And NASDAQ futures down 64. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. The yield 2.90%. And the yield on the 2-year 2.89%. COMEX gold is higher, up about 0.1% at $1,803. An ounce, the euro 1.0296 against the dollar. And checking Bitcoin, it is down 0.1% at $19,720. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 607 on Wall Street. And it's time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. It was a fireworks show that did not disappoint. About 3 million people watched the Macy's fireworks show over the East River in New York City last night. The NYPD said deployment was robust at the show that went off peacefully. WNBA player Brittany Griner wrote to President Joe Biden, pleading with him to bring her and other Americans detained in Russia back home. According to the Associated Press, Griner told Biden in the letter that she is terrified I might be here forever. A representative for Griner delivered the letter to the White House. After more than 4 months of ferocious fighting, Russia claimed full control over one of the two provinces in Ukraine's eastern industrial heartland. However, there are signs Russia is sustaining heavy losses. Another step closer to joining NATO, Finland and Sweden foreign ministers are in Brussels today for the signing of ratification protocols. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg opened the meeting in Brussels.
Today, we will formally sign the protocols of accession. This marks the start of the ratification process.
NATO's Jens Stoltenberg called today historic for Finland, Sweden, and NATO. A federal judge has ruled in favor of three major U.S. drug distributors in a $2.5 billion lawsuit, which had accused them of causing an opioid crisis in a West Virginia county. The suit said McKesson, AmerisourceBergen, and Cardinal Health distributed 81 million pills over 8 years in Campbell County, ravaged by opioid addiction. Attorney Rusty Webb represents the county and the city of Huntington.
Naturally, we're extremely disappointed for the city of Huntington, who's had to undergo so much devastation.
Attorney Rusty Webb says Huntington and Campbell County had asked for $2.6 billion for so-called abatement. That money would have provided for drug education, prevention, treatment, and law enforcement for the next 15 years. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 6:10 on Wall Street. That is time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. Taiwan Walker struck out 9 in 6 innings as the Mets beat the Reds yesterday 7-4. Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor both homered off Reds starter Hunter Green, who has now allowed a major league leading 22 home runs this season. The Mets are the first NL team to 50 wins. Brandon Nimmo on the team's first half success.
Been a good first half. I don't think anybody would complain about it. But we also know that we have places that we can get better, and that, you know, opportunities that we haven't taken advantage of. So to know that there's more in the tank, especially with Jake and Max coming back.
And Max Scherzer comes off the IL to make the start tonight, his first since leaving the game back on May 18th. The Yankees were off yesterday. Tonight, Jameson Taillon faces his former team, the Pirates. Tennis at Wimbledon, Rafa Nadal and Nick Kyrgios advance to the men's quarterfinals. And a 4th of July tradition as Joey Chestnut wins his 15th Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, despite being interrupted by a protester midway through. Chestnut downed 63 dogs to win his 15th title in the last 16 years. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, Scott. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures in the red right now. Dow futures down 109 points. That's a decline of 0.4%. S&P E-mini futures down 14. That's down 0.4%. The Nasdaq futures right now are 56 points lower. That is down 0.5% right now. The Wall Street Fear Gauge Volatility Index still well below 30, 2798, slightly elevated, though, this morning. And as we look at the foreign exchange this morning, the euro ever closer to parity with the dollar, 102.96 right now. That is down 1.2% against the greenback. And the dollar DXY index, dollar continues its strengthening path right now, up close to 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, U.S. markets reopen after capping 11 declines in the past 13 weeks. We'll be joined by Jeffrey Yu, senior market strategist at BNY Mellon. He'll weigh in on the markets.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European equities are falling as concern over the possibility of a recession outweighs optimism over U.S.-China talks aimed at tariff reductions. The euro is at a 20-year low. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 17 points this morning. Dow futures down 128 and Nasdaq futures down 67. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. The 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds. Yield 2.90%. The yield on the 2-year 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil is little change at $108.49 a barrel. Brent is moving lower, down 1.2% at $112.18. COMEX gold is little changed at $1,802 an ounce. The euro, 1.0301 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2034, and the yen, 135.95. Looking at Bitcoin, it's down about 0.25% at $19,700. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Police say a gunman on a rooftop opened fire on an Independence Day parade in suburban Chicago, killing at least 6 people, wounding at least 30 and sending hundreds of marchers, parents with strollers, and children on bicycles fleeing in terror. Police in Highland Park say a person of interest, 22-year-old Robert Bobby Cremo, is now in custody in connection to the shooting. In Philadelphia, 2 police officers were shot and wounded during 4th of July festivities held near the city's Museum of Art. So far, no arrests have been made. In baseball, the Mets won. The Red Sox, Orioles, and A's also won. The Nationals lost, along with the Giants. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. 619 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, U.S. markets reopening today, this Tuesday morning, after capping 11 declines in the past 13 weeks. Let's try to get you set up for the trading day ahead with Jeffrey Yu, a senior market strategist at BNY Mellon. And Jeff, have recession fears replaced inflation fears at this stage of the economy?
It certainly feels like it. Good morning. So in the wake of a lot of survey data and hard data as well globally, I think that really is taking over. Yes, we do have some pockets of optimism, such as China trying to reopen and the tariffs news, but I don't think they're getting the benefits of the doubt by markets right now.
With respect to the tariffs on Chinese goods possibly being rolled back, could that practically ease inflation pressures?
I think it'll take time for it to transmit. And bearing in mind, in terms of the policy response, it's not about inflation pressures per se. It's about inflation expectations. So tariffs and people, it will take time for any tariff relief to be translating into cheaper prices at the local supermarket, I think, whereas people see their gas prices every single day. So I think that's where tariffs will help over the medium term, I think. But people need short-term expectations management on inflation. Otherwise, they step back on their spending. And I don't think we're going to see that for the time being.
With the concern about possible recession ahead, does this alter the course ahead for the Federal Reserve?
No, we don't believe so, because there's a difference between expecting a recession in and of itself versus a recession and starting to drag down prices. But we still believe that a lot of the supply issues, be it labor, be it goods, if those are the structural things that are driving inflation, there's no guarantee right now that slower growth or even a recession can bring down inflation. And with that in mind, it's still imperative, for the Fed to keep its current course. And if anything, we don't think the markets are appreciating how high they can still go.
Well, is it a supply or a demand issue with respect to inflation?
It's still a supply issue, and we see the bulk of it as a supply issue that cannot be adjusted easily. And even if we do have demand come off, we need to look at the distribution of demand. Where is demand coming off? Will demand come off the areas, which are impacting supply? So can the Fed afford to take that chance, basically, at this point? And we just don't think it's there yet. If you look at some of the pricing components and within the ISMs, for example, they're still very, very firm.
With respect to Wall Street's fear gauge, the VIX, still right now below 30 at 28.07, just slightly elevated. We're told that it needs to go somewhere around 40 before we see capitulation in equity markets. Your view?
I'm not sure I agree with that. You don't really have to have capitulation in a meltdown manner, right? So you can have a sudden capitulation, or you can have slow attrition-based capitulation. So I think those two are separate issues. If there's just going to be steady reduction, whereby the flow of, let's say, freshly available investment cash available, that just goes into bonds, and rather than into equities, you just don't have the price momentum to support the levels in the S&P which are necessary. So that can happen, without a sudden unwinding of existing positions. And also, bearing in mind, there's not a whole lot of leverage in the system. You need that to collapse for a rise in the VIX as well. The overall sense is, there is still a lot of liquidity available. Yes, the Fed is going to start to passively allow its balance sheet to come off. There will be a liquidity withdrawal, but it's not actively happening in a way which could push volatility higher.
If I could switch to foreign exchange just briefly, to what extent is FX a litmus test for economies around the world?
So it's interesting you say that. So is it a litmus test for economies or for central banks and how they deal with economies? Because if you look at the way the euro is behaving right now, I don't think the view on the eurozone economy has changed. But unlike what I just said about the Fed, whereby high U.S. inflation, irrespective of growth, the Fed will react to that, we're not so sure about the euro, or the market's not so sure about the ECB right now. Will the ECB start to step back from higher interest rates because they're worried about the growth trajectory in Europe? So there's far less confidence that the ECB will do what it says it might do versus what the Fed will do vis-a-vis the dot plots. And I think that's what's pressuring euro dollar right now.
Do you get the sense in 30 seconds that emerging markets are unraveling?
No, and on the contrary, we are starting to see gentle purchases of emerging market equities. So China and Hong Kong, you know, these are areas I'm finding some gains. Underlying IFO custody flow interests are showing up in the Philippines, you know, for example. So, you know, there are pockets where, and let's bear in mind, be it equities or bonds, markets weren't really that heavily invested in emerging markets anyway over the last few years or so. So it's still probably a good environment that we need to wait and see.
Always a pleasure. Jeffrey Yu, Senior Market Strategist at BNY Mellon, with us this morning. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures 129 points lower. The dollar DXY up about 1% right now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, we'll have top stories and focus on the markets after 11 declines in the U.S. in the past 13 weeks. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers, symbol IBKR, global trader app. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at IBKR.com/globaltrader. Up first, we go to Highland Park, Illinois, where a gunman opened fire on a rooftop at an Independence Day parade yesterday, killing at least six people and wounding at least 30 others. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker addressed the violence in a news conference.
A little while ago, I spoke with President Biden, who pledged all support the White House can provide. The president agrees with me. This madness must stop.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, a person of interest in the shooting, was taken into custody late yesterday.
Now, turning to Washington, there's word the Biden administration could roll back some tariffs imposed by former President Trump. Senior U.S. and Chinese officials discussed the matter last night in what the White House calls candid and substantive discussions. There are expectations, the White House, that removing levies could ease inflation pressures on consumers.
Well, John, looking at the economy, we may get a recession, but opportunity for investment could still be positive depending on the magnitude of the slowdown. That's according to Goldman Sachs macro strategist for global fixed income, Gurpreet Gill. Either way, she says, the labor market will feel a pinch.
We'd say that there's so much uncertainty. We're going to have to monitor the data closely. The expectations for this year is for the unemployment rate to remain stable, but for the pace of job gains to moderate.
Goldman Sachs macro strategist Gurpreet Gill expects growth to level off as rates head higher.
Meantime, another bank is painting a grim picture for the economy. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, John. With the recent drop in bond yields, investors are betting the Fed may turn less hawkish if inflation peaks in the second half of the year. But Morgan Stanley says any drop in interest rates should be interpreted as more of a growth concern rather than the Fed giving relief. Strategists there say if growth were to pull back, the S&P 500 may sink to 3,000 points. That's about 22% below its latest close. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures lower, down 18 points. Dow futures down 136, and NASDAQ futures down 67. The 10-year Treasury is down 6/32, yield 2.90%. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. It was a fireworks show that did not disappoint. The Macy's fireworks show lit up the sky over the East River in New York City last night. About 3 million people watched the show. After more than 4 months of ferocious fighting, Russia claimed full control over one of the two provinces in Ukraine's eastern industrial heartland. However, there are signs Russia is sustaining heavy losses. Another step closer to joining NATO, Finland and Sweden foreign ministers in Brussels today signed the protocols to start the ratification process. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg opened the meeting in Brussels.
This is truly an historic moment for Finland, for Sweden, and for NATO.
NATO's Jens Stoltenberg. WNBA star Brittany Griner sent a letter to President Biden. Griner, who is being detailed in a Moscow prison, held there, told the president, "I'm terrified I might be here forever." Griner added she misses her wife, her family, and her teammates. Frightening scenes at beaches coast to coast in recent days. Authorities in Suffolk County, New York, on Long Island, temporarily closed a part of their shoreline over the weekend. A shark injured veteran lifeguard Zach Gallo during a training exercise, leaving him with injuries on his hand and chest.
I feel a sharp pain in my hand, and as I pull my hand in, I felt something was still there.
Lifeguard Zach Gallo, fighting for his life, eventually punched the shark and it let go. President Biden awards the Medal of Honor to four Army soldiers today for their heroism in Vietnam. They include retired specialist Dwight Birdwell, who took enemy fire to his face and torso, but still managed to get his commander to safety and disrupt the enemy assault.
What a way to celebrate the Fourth. Saved my fellow servicemen. I did it twice. Went into an enemy held village at night, couldn't see. The only light was illumination from the enemy fire and our fire.
Retired specialist Dwight Birdwell would be the first Native American awarded for service in any conflict since 1973. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 6:36 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And good morning, Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, John. Another solid outing from Taiwan Walker as he struck out 9 in 6 innings as the Mets beat the Reds yesterday 7-4. Dom Smith, who had a two-run double in the game, talked about Walker afterwards.
I think it's been awesome. He's just showing what he showed us last year when he was an all-star. So it's something that he's capable of doing.
Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor both homered in the win. The Mets are the first NL team to 50 wins this season. And tonight, welcome back Max Scherzer, making his first start since leaving the game back on May 18th. The Yankees, meanwhile, were off yesterday. Tonight, Jameson Taillon faces the Pirates, his former team. Tennis at Wimbledon, Rafa Nadal and Nick Kyrgios advance to the quarterfinals. And a 4th of July tradition as Joey Chestnut wins his 15th Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, despite being interrupted by a protester midway through. Chestnut downed 63 dogs to win his 15th title in the last 16 years. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, Scott, thanks very much. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street, and that's time to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. You may have just heard my interview with Jeff Yu. Jeff Yu covers the waterfront from Barclays and also specializes in foreign exchange as well from BNY Mellon. Can we look at the dollar strength this morning and maybe the implications for the broader market? Because foreign exchange is such a litmus test for markets.
It totally is. And right now, I mean, you're quite literally, for the folks who aren't looking at intraday charts, you're quite literally seeing this kind of almost vertical move in the dollar this morning and an almost inverse downside vertical move in futures. So you can see very sensitive to that currency exchange. But there are individual stocks as well that are starting or are going to see that kind of ripple effect. Think about it. Multinational companies who majority of their businesses are actually abroad, in that when they actually make those profits abroad in China and Europe, they have to bring it back to the state, flip it into dollars, and that, of course, is going to eat into some of their profits given the type of strength. So
that's an important point for when you look at the flows. If you're a foreign investor or if you're a company making your money overseas, you have to bring it to the U.S. You have to take that currency and buy U.S. dollars. If the U.S. dollar is really strong, you're going to wind up losing.
you are going to wind up losing. And that seems to be the consensus, at least this morning. I mean, because take a look at some of the names that do have that dynamic at play. Nike, for example, NKE is your ticker, down 0.6%. Starbucks as well, SBUX, also down 0.6%. Microsoft, remember they warned about that dollar story, MSFT, down about 0.5%. Even McDonald's, which isn't seeing as much movement this morning, but you really want to keep an eye on this one because it's about flat right now. MCD is your ticker. It has about 60% of its revenue comes from abroad. So once again, this is going to be a story that you're going to see pretty broadly as people talk about, well, global recession and, of course, what that means for dollar. And then at the end of the day, what that means for profits, as he pointed out.
Yeah, dollar DXY, up 1% right now. And, you know, look at I'll get off the dollar in a second, foreign exchange. But euro closer to parity with dollar 102.
Closer to parity. I mean, this has massive implications when you talk about just how European assets are valued. Remember, this is an exchange that you haven't seen hit parity going all the way back to the 90s. So this does have ripple effects, and especially in commodity prices. Think about this. Europe really needs commodities right now. They need natural gas. They need oil. And everything is priced in dollars. That makes it even harder when it comes to the purchasing power there.
And not to mention emerging markets, which are can get battered with a stronger dollar as you what else is moving in terms of equity? I don't get too far afield, but
no, it's okay. There's a lot going on here, so we have to like digest it. I want to hit Cowen because this is going to be a major story. COWN is your ticker, up about 11%. This comes after the Toronto Dominion TD is set to explore a takeover of the U.S. brokerage. So those shares seeing some optimism this morning.
Okay, maybe Merger Tuesday. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, thanks for joining us. Looking at stocks on the whole ahead of the open, S&P futures right now down 16 points. Dow futures 118 points lower, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures are down 64 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, much more work to do to stop gun violence. The headline from President Biden. We'll speak with Bloomberg's Joe Matthew, host of Sound On. That's just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now. Dow futures down 124 points. S&P's dropped 17 and Nasdaq futures declined by 68. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.9%. Gold is down 4. Oil and Bitcoin are both trading little changed. And Japan rose 1% overnight. Where European markets are down this morning, led by 1% losses in France. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, factory orders and durable goods orders. Over the weekend, Tesla reported Q2 deliveries that missed estimates. And in other news, the euro dropped to a 20-year low against the U.S. dollar. Wrapping things up, Ferrari was upgraded over at Jefferies, and Texas Instruments was put to hold over at DZ Bank. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A gunman on a rooftop opened fire on an Independence Day parade in suburban Chicago, killing at least 6 people and wounding at least 30. Police in Highland Park say a man named as a person of interest in the shooting was taken into custody last night after an hours-long manhunt. Two Philadelphia police officers have been released from the hospital after they were shot during a 4th of July celebration where they were working security. It is unclear whether the shootings were intentional, and there have been no arrests so far. In baseball, the Mets won, the Red Sox, Orioles, and A's also won, the Nationals lost, along with the Giants. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT welcomes its ninth president, Tech Lim, a visionary leader committed to growing NJIT's partnerships with industry to bolster student opportunities and outcomes. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A simple and cheap way to prevent some future climate pollution is to wear the clothes already in your closet roughly twice as many times as you might have otherwise before tossing them. The United Nations Environment Program echoed a 2017 report from the Ellen MacArthur Foundation that showed it could reduce the impact of emissions related to clothing by 44%. Tesla will halt most production on its Model Y assembly line in Shanghai for the first 2 weeks of July, then stop the Model 3 line for a 20-day stretch starting July 18th. Upgrade work at the factory to boost output of both vehicles is expected to be completed by early August, people familiar with the matter say. And an electric vehicle charging station that can juice hundreds of cars a day and set up with two batteries that can send power to the UK grid is opening in Oxford. The project known as the Energy Superhub Oxford will include 42 rapid chargers at the Redbridge Park and Ride. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. John.
All right, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:51 on Wall Street, and that means it's time to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in the nation's capital include China and the U.S. discuss Trump-era tariffs. Biden is looking to ease. Of course, 6 dead, 30 hurt in that shooting at the Chicago area July 4th parade. Where are we on gun legislation at this point? And the January 6th hearing revelations include an angry former President Trump and risk to the Vice President Pence. The WNBA star Griner pleading with President Biden to get her out of Russia. And President Biden urges unity despite economic worries and deep divisions in the nation. Let's take a deeper dive into these stories this morning with Joe Matthew, host of Bloomberg Sound On. Happy Tuesday morning to you, Joe.
And you as well. Hope it was a great fourth, John.
Terrific fourth, for me at least. China and the U.S. Discussing ending some of the Chinese tariffs. One of our top stories this morning. What exactly is taking place?
Started perking a couple of weeks ago. The president's been looking at this, saying that he would make a decision on it in an effort to lower inflation was the idea here. It appears we could be nearing a decision as soon as this week. Bloomberg had sources talking over the weekend about this within days. News of a high-level meeting between Janet Yellen and China's vice premier was their first meeting since October and described by the U.S. as candid and substantive. So it looks like the gears are turning here, but we do have to acknowledge that there's an argument within the administration about this. You might not assume that, but our trade representative, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai, says, take away the tariffs, you take away the leverage. They bring some of the only leverage that Washington has over Beijing. And the fact is, China has really not changed its behavior, the behavior that prompted these tariffs to begin with. There are also questions, John, about the impact. What would it actually do with regard to inflation? Analysts at the Peterson Institute say it might lower consumer prices by about a quarter percentage point. Barclays says it might be 3/10 or so. Not a lot. It could rise if American companies respond by lowering their prices. But that's a big if here. And we're talking about consumer goods for the most part, seasonal products, John, like sunscreen and bicycles. And one possibility would be cutting those tariffs while raising some others. Things like industrial machinery, transportation equipment. We'll be looking for answers on these in the coming days.
So it sounds like at this point it's unilateral.
Well, yes, but the question is, where do they draw the line, and where do we find the balance between leverage and prices, knowing that it may not have a huge impact here at home?
All right. Another weekend, another mass shooting. 6 dead, 30 hurt in that Chicago area July 4th parade shooting. Mm-hmm. And that begs the question, we've heard some of the reactions. Where are we on national gun control legislation?
Well, the president signed it into law a little over a week ago. It was the 25th of July. And the first major, you know, gun safety legislation passed by Congress in nearly 30 years. The question is, you know, what impact is it going to have? And as these red flag laws take effect around the country, because this bill, reminding you, incentivizes states to have red flag laws. It also expands some background checks. People think that it might have actually played into some of these mass shootings. Whether it would have prevented any of the recent examples is very difficult to tell. The NRA opposed the bill, but it has been signed into law after 10 Senate Republicans and 10 Democrats found a compromise on this.
And also individually, some of the states, the Supreme Court overturning some of the restrictions that New York had in place.
Absolutely.
In New York, and then in Governor Hochul, and in New Jersey, they have sort of adapted new gun control legislation, and immediately those are facing lawsuits as well. So there has been response, counter response. So we have yet to see what happens on the state level with those.
And as predicted, you know, this could be tied up in courts for a long time. There are, however, a number of states, roughly 20 states, that already have their own red flag laws. So we'll have to see what the rest of the country decides to do.
The January 6th hearings and the revelations, give us the update. What do we know?
Well, there's a lot there. I don't know how much time you have, but we're in a lull now after our surprise hearing popped up with the commentary from Cassidy Hutchinson, the former chief of staff, to Mark Meadows. I think that the committee, which, by the way, is going to be finishing this with another primetime hearing, likely closer to Labor Day. We're expecting another schedule at some point soon here. But they say there's new evidence coming in and there are more witnesses who want to talk. So they're back in the process of gathering here, having heard from Cassidy Hutchinson that the president, the Secret Service, knew that there were weapons in that crowd at the Ellipse that day before they walked up to the Capitol, and learning as well that the president himself wanted to go to the Capitol raises a lot of questions about his motivations that day.
And the Justice Department, have we heard anything from the Attorney General at this point?
About this particular matter, not specifically whether, you know, charges. Of course, the DOJ has been actively investigating this, and there are questions about whether they'll be getting information from the committee or whether they even need it, John. The DOJ operates very quietly, and they have broad subpoena powers, broad ability to investigate. And they're taking their own path on this, which could, in fact, result in charges. At the same time, the January 6th committee can refer with the idea of referring for criminal charges to the DOJ some of the information that they have. Interesting that there is a bit of a conflict between Liz Cheney, the Republican ranking member, if you will, vice chair of the committee, and also Benny Thompson, the Democratic chair. He says, no, we're just doing our work here. We're doing the work of a legislative committee. Liz Cheney says this information needs to go to DOJ so they can act.
All right, Joe, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much. We appreciate your time. Joe Matthew, the host of Bloomberg Sound On. Well, you can read more about these stories we just did on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Also, a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Well, we did see some green initially on the screen with U.S. futures after word of those possible tariffs being lifted with China. Right now, we are in the red, risk off so far this morning. Dow futures down 122 points. That's a decline of 0.4%. S&P E-mini futures, they're down 16. That's down 0.4%. And the NASDAQ futures, 65 points lower. That is down 0.6%. And the VIX right now, 28.10, slightly elevated. As for the dollar DXY, that is elevated. Stronger dollar this morning. That is up 0.9%. Watching the euro as well, 102 right now. That is down 1.2%. For Karen Moscow, I'm John Tucker, and you have been listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.